Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. This week's topic on Talk Nation Radio, a dramatic theater at a refugee camp in the West Bank of Palestine. We've had guests on this program before discussing the difficulties in staging politically engaged theater here in the United States. The difficulties are much greater in the West Bank.
The Israeli Defense Forces, they've made several arrests of staff members in five or six different attacks on the theater since April of 2011.
In fact, members of the theater have been arrested and apparently tortured by the Palestinian Authority, as well as by Israel. And the explanation for that may lie in the content of the theater's productions.
One of the most interesting and first large-scale production that got a lot of notice was when they did an adaptation of Animal Farm. And the interesting thing about Animal Farm, actually, is that instead of being pointed towards speaking only about the Israeli occupation, this play actually focused on the Palestinian Authority and their views on the corruption within the Palestinian Authority.
Why take such risks for what some might consider merely art?
What the theater believes is that what we all need in conflict zones, for young people especially, is an alternative to violence. That what we need is more theater, not less. What we need is a greater capacity for people to act out the ways that they feel their lives are suffering through creative outlets rather than through violent means.
I'm delighted to have two guests this week on Talk Nation Radio, Gary English and Laura Wilson. Gary English is a stage director and designer, and with credits that include over 100 productions at many of America's major repertory theaters, including the Pittsburgh Public Theater, the Pioneer Theater Company in Salt Lake, Milwaukee Repertory Theater, the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, the Repertory Theater of St. Louis, and on, he is a distinguished professor of drama at the University of Connecticut, where he also served as artistic director of Connecticut Repertory Theater and head of the University of Connecticut Department of Dramatic Arts for 15 years. He is also a member of the Human Rights Institute faculty at Connecticut and runs a research program in theater and human rights. He has been to the Middle East 5 times in the last 2 years and will spend the next year on leave from Connecticut when he will serve as artistic manager of the Freedom Theater in the Jenin refugee camp in the West Bank. His current book project is Theater and Human Rights, the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict. Laura Wilson is a professional stage and event manager based in New York City with credits on Broadway and regional theaters, who has been involved with active research and development for Freedom Theater activities in the United States for the past year and a half. She is working with Gary English as editor on the book Theater and Human Rights, the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict. Gary English and Laura Wilson, thanks for being on Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Gary, maybe I could start with you. What is the Freedom Theater in the West Bank?
Right. The Freedom Theater is an institution that was started in 2005 by three men, co-founders of the theater. The first is a man named Giuliano Merkanis, who was a famous Israeli actor. He was also well known as a binational political figure who believed in a single secular binational state as a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. His mother was Jewish and, in fact, had been member of the Palmach, which is one of the armed resistance groups that fought against the British before the 1948 War of Independence. And his father was actually a communist socialist Palestinian, and so he came from a quite a wide background that actually forced him through his youth and middle age to try to reconcile these two very different forces in his life. The theater was also started by Jonathan Stancic, who's a Swedish Israeli citizen, dual citizen, and Zakaria Zubaydi, who is a resident of Jenin and who had been a commander in the Al-Aqsa Brigade during the Second Intifada. The three of them started the theater in 2005 as a way of dealing with the trauma and distress caused by the occupation and the Second Intifada on the children and youth of the refugee camp. So the initial impulse, which came from Jonathan Stancic, was from the mental health profession, which intended to help young people cope with the very severe stress and trauma in their lives. There was an enormous amount of post-traumatic stress syndrome amongst children in the West Bank and Gaza. And the theater was, through creative arts, through theater, drama therapy, and art therapy, came out of an earlier project that had been run by Giuliano's mother, Arna Mercanese, in the 90s, called the Stone Theater. And the aims of the project initially were, again, to deal with the stress and trauma of the children and youth at the camp. But the theater also had a political, remains active in a political agenda in terms of creating a cultural and artistic voice to the Palestinian identity. And in that sense, it really tries to operate in both spheres, in terms of the mental health sphere and also in the political sphere. Giuliano's main impulse was that freedom was something that was essential for every individual on every level, and that as a prerequisite to political freedom and political activism, that one had to free oneself of all prejudices, all biases, and that individual freedom, personal freedom, again, was a prerequisite to political activism. So that's kind of a rough background of the theater.
Those sound like some dangerous ideas, actually, to people in power in most parts of the world. I imagine that some of the productions, if they're going to be therapeutic and they're going to be addressing the cultural identity of a people under occupation, are going to deal with the occupation and therefore be seen as dangerous productions. Laura, what kind of dramas have been staged by this theater?
Well, one of the most interesting and first large-scale production that got a lot of notice was when they did an adaptation of Animal Farm. And the interesting thing about Animal Farm, actually, is that instead of being pointed for speaking only about the Israeli occupation, this play actually focused on the Palestinian Authority and their views on the corruption within the Palestinian Authority. So there's a lot more going on with the pieces of work that they are doing at the Freedom Theater. And that's actually something that is interesting to both Gary and I, that it does go beyond the polarizing political discourse, that using drama enables them to speak about all kinds of issues that they deal with in their community, and it puts it in a light that makes it more accessible to have conversation about. And a lot of the work that they've done actually also deals with women's rights, especially with a lot of young women that are at the theater. So it really does cast a wide net, and a lot of their work, while addressing the Israeli occupation, also does focus on their local issues within their own community and within the Palestinian community specifically.
One of the first projects that did was Stories for Palestine, or Stories Under Occupation, which was a specific way for each individual student actor to bring their own personal story or experience to the stage. And a lot of these stories were acted out in terms of physical theater. The theater has a tradition of working through stories, sometimes on a text-based or a traditional text-based level, and sometimes on theater that's really more physical-based or mime. You might say it's kind of like a physical storytelling. And so, in addition to the stories from Under Occupation and Animal Farm, which was a really important project. There was a really interesting article in the BBC that first brought my attention to the theater. They've also done productions of Men in the Sun, which is based on the Gaddafi short story, and most recently, an adaptation of Alice in Wonderland, which was directed by Giuliano Mercanese, was his last production before he died.
What has been the response of the Israeli government on the one hand and of the Palestinian Authority on the other to this theater?
Well, about in April in April, in general, I think it was fairly neutral up until April of 2011. Before that, the Palestinian Authority had taken exception to the production of Animal Farm, and in fact, several of the touring sites had been canceled as a result of the criticism of the Palestinian Authority. But in general, the attitude toward the theater, I think, was relatively neutral and hands-off, in part because Juliana Mearkamese was such a significant figure, a major international movie star, and certainly a significant artistic figure in Israel, as well as in the West Bank. In April of 2011, however, Juliana was murdered right outside the theater. And ever since then, there has been a significant amount of interference in the operations of the theater, particularly by the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. They've made several arrests of staff members in five or six different attacks on the theater since April of 2011. Ostensibly, they've made the claim that these arrests and interrogations are an attempt to investigate the murder of Juliana Mearkamese. But it's very difficult to understand how arresting his colleagues and close associates would have anything to do with that. And in fact, under many of the interrogations, it's been admitted that basically these arrests have really had nothing to do with the investigation of Juliana Mearkamese, but in fact have to do with the status of the theater as a political institution. The irony of that, of course, is that what the theater believes is that what we all need in conflict zones, for young people especially, is an alternative to violence. That what we need is more theater, not less. What we need is a greater capacity for people to act out the ways that they feel their lives are suffering through creative outlets rather than through violent means. And so the theater really is an opportunity for people to find an identity in a constructive, creative way. And that's one of the things that we keep trying to get the message out, both nationally and internationally.
I understand that Human Rights Watch has taken up this problem, opposing both Israeli and Palestinian Authority abuse of the Freedom Theater, and in particular the Palestinian Authority's arrest and alleged torture of a co-founder of the company. What is the status of that?
Well, actually, Zakaria Zubaydi, who is one of the three co-founders of the company, was actually just released yesterday after more than, I think, most of May, June, and July, 3 months under arrest in a prison detention center in Jericho. And both he and the current artistic director, Nabil Arai, were arrested and held for over a month without access to their family and without any charges against them, and both of which are a violation of their rights, not only under any international norms, but under both Israeli and Palestinian Authority laws and regulations. Certainly the theater was involved in trying to support both of these people while they were under arrest. And there are several alleged incidents of abuse, both psychological abuse and physical abuse, that were reported, not only by Zakaria Zubaydi and Nabil Arai, but others that have been held, particularly by the Palestinian Authority. And the Human Rights Watch produced a press release that was actually released, I think, July 27th, which documents several of these incidents, and particularly the seclusion of both Nabil and Zakaria while they were under arrest, the seclusion from both their lawyers and from their family.
We are speaking with Gary English and Laura Wilson about the Freedom Theater on the West Bank in Palestine. This is obviously a dangerous undertaking to pursue this theater. What have been the successes, in particular in terms of providing therapy for people living under occupation? And Laura, feel free to jump in here anytime as well.
Yeah, well, there was one boy in the camp who actually, as an individual example for you, had been repeatedly beaten as a child by his father, and did not speak for many years. I think he was 12. And he started doing activities at the theater, and through their work with drama and group work with the other students there. Now, he was just recently asked at this last fall playing Pasco in their adaptation of based on the idea from Waiting for Godot. And he has come great length and is quite sociable, actually. Very charming guy.
But, yeah, I can't get him to shut up now. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. Which is great. But that's just kind of an extreme example for you of what an impact these theater activities have for the students and the children in the camp. But yes, but we also, the theater is currently involved with the Playback Theater Project headed up by Ben Rivers. And this project deals with actually going out into the surrounding communities. And the idea of it is that it really fits well with the culture, the Palestinian culture. It's a very collective society, as opposed to having a focus on individualism, which is such a stressed cultural idea here in the West. But over there, it's a collective society, really. So Playback Theater is a great way for communities to come together, and they talk about, it gets them talking about whatever their issues are of their community, whether they be social or political, and normally are both, of course. So they're currently actually getting ready to take a playback project out called the Freedom Bus, and that will go to 11 different communities. And basically, the actors that are involved in Playback Theater speak with different members from the audience, and so it's kind of a forum for audience members to speak about what their experiences are currently and what they have been in the past. And then the actors basically get a good sense of what their experiences have been, and then instantaneously, in a semi-improv environment, play back these experiences that the community is feeling, and the ability for the community members to see and experience feelings and moments that have impacted them in an environment that is kind of once removed. They're getting to see it and experience it as an outsider, really helps them gain perspective and understanding of each other in the group.
In addition, with Playback Company's had a lot of success in the last year and is going out on tour again the last 10 days of September. The Freedom Theater just got a $250,000 grant from the Swedish government to put together a major youth theater project, which will run for the next 18 months, which will not only train former students of the Freedom Theater but other teachers in the area in youth empowerment and youth theater through the public schools in the Jenin District. So this is really an exciting program. It's extremely well funded, and once I get back, we'll be articulating the major pieces of that in terms of how both in terms of productions that will be mounted for youth throughout the West Bank. It'll be touring productions, but ways in which we can now train teachers to work with students within the structure. And there are a couple other programs that do similar work in the West Bank and Gaza, including an extremely successful one called Theater Day Productions, which is headquartered in Jerusalem and operates in Gaza, which is going to be working with us as a partner on that project. And so it's a really exciting new endeavor to, again, reach into the communities, to schools, and help children and youth find ways to express themselves in creative and constructive ways.
I want to read just a single sentence from a wonderful paper that you sent me, Gary, about the theater, and I'll make this available on the website of Talk Nation Radio for people, if possible. But it says, "I believe there is a deeper connection between the nature of drama as a discipline and its potential as a cultural and political force that interrogates the nature of various questions in human rights, including the search for personal dignity, the illusion of justice, the exploration of the psyche of perpetrators of human rights abuses, and the atrocities that often follow in the wake of this abuse. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, the ability to create empathy across ethnic and social divisions. Is that happening? How is that playing out?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, starting from the back end of that, I think reconciliation is extremely difficult. Certainly there have been attempts to try to reconcile people through theater. There's an interesting project that brings both Palestinians and former members of the IDF who have served at checkpoints throughout the West Bank together to do theatrical exercises to help explore the conflict that takes place at checkpoints between soldiers and Palestinians. That's a very interesting project, which I want to find out more about upon my return. But I think things are at a very extreme state right now in terms of potential for any really formal political reconciliation. And I think part of the reason for that is that the political discourse, both in our country, in the Middle East, and globally, has become so focused on extreme ideologies. I mean, it's a little bit like the way MSNBC and Fox News fight it out in the United States. And so there's very little political rhetoric or public discourse that allows for any real nuance or any real areas of gray within any of the major global conflicts, and certainly not within this one. Ethan Bonner produced an interesting essay a few years ago in the New York Times, where he talks about himself as the despised Greek chorus, as someone, no matter what he reports or how he reports it, he's attacked or vilified as being prejudiced on one side or the other. And so I really do believe that theater and the arts is a better way, a more complete way of understanding what's really going on as a fundamental cultural conflict between two peoples who in many ways have as much in common as they have separated. So certainly one of the exercises of the theater in general, internationally, should be to try to take on these large political and social questions and try to find a way to talk about them, try to have a way in which people can experience the nature of these problems without being polarized into two such different and difficult to reconcile camps.
Is there space and funding and acceptability for such theater here in the United States around the Israeli-Palestinian issue or any other political issue? How does it compare to under occupation in the West Bank, where members of the theater are arrested and apparently tortured?
We take for granted that we can do theater in the United States and not get arrested for it. That's an important thing to remember, because that's not true around the world in many places in the world, including Eastern Europe. You know, these three young women were just convicted of hooliganism in Russia for the event that they produced a few months ago. You know, South America, even Africa, certainly in the Middle East, Central Asia, China, and Eastern Europe. In fact, most of the rest of the world are places where people who attempt to tell a story that is politically activist suffer under all kinds of restraints that we don't in the United States. So it's important for us to remember that in the United States, we can say whatever we like in theater and at least not suffer criminal persecution. On the other hand, I think most people agree that the biggest impediment to international settlement in the Middle East is likely domestic politics, because domestic politics, both in the United States and in Israel, has become so fragmented. And so, again, based on extreme ideologies, that it's extremely difficult for any national consensus to build around any kind of just solution. And it's also extremely difficult to talk even about Palestinian rights without being accused of being anti-Semitic or anti-Israel, which is certainly not the case. So in the United States, while we're not going to be persecuted criminally for the things that we say, there are instances where there have been attempts to silence or to prevent stories from being told that in effect address even just the basic humanity of Palestinians in Palestinian circumstances. There's a wonderful play by a friend of mine who's an Israeli Palestinian named Amir Nizar Zawabi called I Am Yusuf, and This Is My Brother. And Laura and I did a stage reading of that the summer before last. And we've been attempting to try to find a production of it, and there has been some opposition to that. Again, not because the play deals with Israel or condemns Israel. In fact, it barely even mentions Israel. But because, in fact, it proposes to suggest which apparently is an audacious thing to say, that Palestinians are human beings like everybody else, that suffer from the same foibles, from the same difficulties, from some of the same problems, and certainly from some of the same prejudices that we all suffer from. And so one of the things that theater should try to do, and that we should all try to support, is the portrayal of human experience from the point of view of human experience, and not from the point of view of a political ideology.
Certainly here in the United States, it is true that because of social pressures, especially with that particular issue and topic of Middle East, that it can be a little difficult to get support for actually producing this kind of work, certainly.
We have just a couple of minutes left. I wonder if you could speak a little bit further to this question. It seems to me that in the United States, there is virtually no awareness of Palestinians as people, or of the fact that there is nonviolent protest and resistance in Palestine, with which presumably the culture of this theater interacts. And I think people would like to know what they might be able to do to help and to support these efforts if they think that that politically aware theater and therapeutic theater in Palestine is a cause worth supporting.
Well, it certainly makes sense. You know, it's sort of like the same argument that preventive medicine saves us money in the long run, right, by helping people solve medical problems early in their discovery, that by having artistic activity that deals with the pressures brought to bear on young Palestinians, that there's a much better chance that their lives can be focused towards nonviolence long term. We know that. We know that for a fact. We know that in any therapeutic environment, that unresolved trauma leads to psychotic behavior later in life. And so we know that in every social circumstance that it's ever been studied. By supporting the Freedom Theater and the arts organizations in the West Bank, and certainly everyone can help create a more constructive, nonviolent environment. And understanding that these theaters only have, that the significant amount of their work is dealing with, again, the social problems within the Palestinian community, what it means to be disabled in the Palestinian community, what it means to suffer from other kinds of stigmas within the Palestinian community. And so the opportunity to support these theaters is a very good organization in New York called the Friends of the Freedom Theater. You can find it through the Freedom Theater website, which is www.thefreedomtheater.org. And the Friends is an important organization, 501c3 in New York, that supports the activity of the Freedom Theater through fundraising activities in the United States. I would encourage everyone to take a look at the website, listen to the stories of the children, look at the work that's actually being done, and that I think we all agree we prefer a culturally based, nonviolent discourse than something else. And the Freedom Theater is an organization that could help provide that.
We have been speaking with Gary English and Laura Wilson about the Freedom Theater, and we will have the links up at davidswanson.org/talknationradio. Gary and Laura, thank you very much for being on Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, engineered by Christiane Brown in Reno, Nevada, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. Until next time.